Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Sports fans, welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Kevin and Darren. Today's Wednesday, August 6th. This is episode 183. Please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. Give us a look. Join our pages. If you got something to say, say it to us. We'll talk back to you. Don't worry. It's a dog day this summer, guys. Sports potpourri. We're going to talk a little baseball. So today, both Yankee and Mets already played. Yankees are at 61-54 after today. They're 6.5 games back of the Toronto Blue Jays for the American League East. Mets, 63-52. They're 2.5 games behind the Phillies. Both teams not really playing well in their last 10. Yankees at 4-6, Mets at 2-8. Let's start with the Mets, Kev.
Yeah. Losers of 8 of the last 9. I mean, this is their second real bad long stretch of the season. You know, back on June 12th, they reached their high water mark, 45-24, and they lost 10 out of 11. Then they rebounded, you know, from June 25th to July 27th, they went 16-10. And I think almost surprisingly, because I don't think any of us felt like they were playing all that well, but they were 16-10 for that month, and it looked like they righted the ship and were going to be battling the Phillies along the way here. And now in the last 9 games, they got swept out in San Diego, then come home and lose 2 out of 3 to the Giants and 3 in a row to the Cleveland Guardians. And boy, except for Saturday's game where they put up 12 runs, the offense has scored 23 runs in the other 8 games. That's under 3 runs a game. I mean, this offense has been real tough since the All-Star break. They're hitting .222 as a team. You take away, I mean, unbelievably, the catcher position between Alvarez with his .286, Torrens at .292. This was going into today. I don't have the stats after today. Vientos was at .275. Nobody else since the All-Star break is over .250. And it looked like they were going to hit rock bottom today. Gavin Williams no hit them for 8 1/3.
Yep.
And you go back to Tuesday night, they were sat down the last 14 in a row. So that's 13 consecutive innings without a base hit until Soto hit the solo home run, as Soto is so great at doing this year. Boy, has he just been the poster child for the Mets' offensive issues. You know, the whole season, you look at it, .231 with runners in scoring position. That's tied for 27th in baseball with Colorado. There's only 2 teams worse. One I think will be surprising to you, the Seattle Mariners. Actually have a pretty decent, damn good record.
Yeah, they just don't have a great offense. But you're right. It is a surprise. No one guessed it, but yeah.
Suarez and Yelich, but you would not expect the Seattle Mariners to be 29th. And the other one, the White Sox, yeah, you expect them to be 30th. I mean, they are that bad. You know, part of it, yes, there is an element of bad luck, and here's one of Gino's stats. With runners in scoring position, they are worse than the league with a 256 BABIP. Just for you, Gino. That's stats just for you. The league average is 293. So, you know, there is some element of bad luck, but it just keeps building on and building on. The players know that they've been so bad all year with runners in scoring position that at this point, it's shocking that anybody, I mean, the only guy who gets any sort of RBIs right now is Pete. Nobody else can feels like they can drive in a run.
He's also the monster that's hitting 264 with nobody anywhere near him. I mean, it's, I mean, yeah. You got Lindor and Soto hitting 249. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. This can't happen. You're sitting there sucking their thumbs in the corner. It's embarrassing to watch. These guys are too good for that.
And then Soto hits a home run to break up a no-hitter, and they're like celebrating in the club, the dugout. Like, yay, we got a home run.
Let's be perfectly honest. Everybody there would have preferred to watch the no-hitter.
You're probably right.
You would have saw something famous rather than losing 4-1 in a whole home game where you got one run in the ninth. I'm not trying to be funny with that.
No, you're.
If it was the Yankees, I would have preferred to watch the no-hitter.
You're right. So we know the offense is not hitting, has not hit for a while now. The starters, boy, what a mixed bag here. You've got we'll start with the bad. Frankie Montas, who should not be in the rotation at this point.
Told you that before the season started.
6.6 ERA, 1.54 WHIP. And one of the issues, I think, going back to last year was they had success with Manaea. And success with Severino coming in going, oh, they put up good numbers. We can do this to anybody. And they figured, yeah, we'll do the same thing with Frankie Montas. And he has been dreadful.
I've never seen a guy throw 96 and be so hittable at the same time. It's mind-numbing, actually. I know everybody throws 102 now, but 96 is still a pretty credible number for a starting pitcher. And he still gets hit.
It's almost like our the reliever, Ryan Stanek, he throws 100 and is very hittable.
He is.
It's 100 and straight, and he throws a forkball and or a splitter into the dirt.
Ryan Stanek went from a guy that you were so excited to sign last year to a guy that you don't want to pitch at all this year, and if he got DFA'd, it wouldn't even kill you.
No,
that's how bad it is right now. And I'm not trying to insult Ryan Stanek. He just has been that awful to watch. When he comes in, you feel like he's not going to get anybody out.
Yep. Then you've got Clay Holmes. His ERA was just under 3 a month ago, but he's hit the wall hard. His last 6 starts, he's alternated between bad and decent. Can't go more than 5 and change. His ERA in that time in the last month is 4.9. Senga, in 4 starts off the injured list, he's only thrown 16 innings. And, you know, take away the 4 shutout the first time around, he's given up 11 runs in his last 12 innings, which covers 3 starts. So he's not giving you any length. Sean Manaea has been handled way too carefully, way too kid gloves. His first 23 in the third innings, he had given up only 4 runs, but then he went out for the 6th inning the other day against the Guardians and gave up 5 runs in the 6th and had to be pulled. I mean, he'd been pitching real well until then. And I don't think it was a pitch count issue. I think the Guardians just started to hit him.
Big question for you, Kev, because I put it out to our social media followers. Did David Stearns drop the ball by not maybe paying a little too much for a starter, but did he drop the ball, or are you happy that he didn't do it?
The only starter that – and how many starters other than Merrill Kelly who were good?
Nobody went, right? I get that. But the simple fact of the matter is, would you have taken Merrill Kelly if you had to give up Dylan Sproat?
If it was only Sproat, yes.
No, you would have had to give up somebody else, but it wouldn't have been another top 5.
But lesser.
It wouldn't have been another top 5. I'm not saying you give up Jet Williams. I'm not saying you give up Tong. I'm not saying you give up McLean. I'm not saying you give up any of these stars. I'm saying you give up Sproat or maybe even, Santucci, the 4th kid?
Yep.
And one or the other, and you give up another bat somewhere along the line. I mean,
that would have been fine.
I just feel like, you know, or you kick the tires on Cease, who's a free agent, who probably doesn't cost you as much as Kelly might have a little bit just because he's a rental. I mean, I just feel like the Mets had to kick the tires on a starter. And I know that listen, I mean, you watch the Padres, and AJ Preller drafts these guys that are going to be awesome, and he can't wait to deal them like 3 weeks later. He just can't wait. It's the complete opposite. But everybody else in baseball loves prospects. I gave you guys the stat last week, right? If you take every player that ever played in the major leagues, it would fill up 61% of progressive field, okay?
Yep.
That's how hard it is for these guys to make it up here. And and the Yankees overvalue their prospects like no other team, Gino. I mean, we live that every year.
Unbelievable.
Right? Nobody overvalues their prospects like the Yankees do. But but I feel like everybody sits there and relies on these prospects when we don't know what we're going to do. But if you can get a major league-ready guy that's going to get you through if you're in the playoffs, I felt like they had to try to do something because simple fact, Kev, is that all you have to do is make the playoffs now.
Yep.
And if you could get – you know you have Peterson, right? He wasn't awesome today, but he was okay. And you need one of the other guys to step up, and you can bring in a starter that's good, all of a sudden you have a shot. That's all I'm trying to say. And yep. I feel like right now with this rotation, unless it completely turns around on me, I can't see them having a shot.
All right, here's the one thing, right?
Yep.
So right now they're at 63-52, which is 11 games over.
Mm-hmm.
If they finish the season, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and make it 87-75 so that they're not 11, they're 12 games over. Okay? That's basically almost on their over-under for the year. The over-under for the year was 90.5. Kev, you and I said they were going to be under 90.5. Darren said they were going to be over 90.5. Yeah. But it's right on the number. So as bad as we think they're playing right now, on the whole for the season, they're right around where we thought they were going to be. They're not that far. At this point, they're not that far off. Now, it's a good point. If you could have brought in a starter, are you that much better? Different story altogether. But, you know, I know that they're playing horrible right now, but on the season, they're still 11 games over.
Here's the question, though, G. Here's the question. Did you, before the season, think Lindor was going to hit 249?
Did you think Soto was
going to hit 249? I'm saying maybe you did. I did not. Well, okay?
I'm the one that thought they weren't making the playoffs. So I did see regression.
I'm the wrong one. Okay.
I had them as a wild card. So
did you think 249 for either of those? Did you think Vientos was going to fall off the map?
That's the one I did.
Gino's the one that did. But he didn't say fall off the map like he did. Gino just said he wasn't going to be as good as last year. You didn't say he was going to be as horrendous as he's been.
I called that he was not going to be good.
No, you said
I didn't think he was going to be good. I didn't think Lindor was going to hit 249.
Did you think Soto was?
No.
Okay, I'm just saying there's some
– I know.
Did you think Alvarez was going to be as awful where he had to be sent down? I mean, this team's at where we thought they were going to be with all this mess.
Yeah.
All this mess. That tells you how talented this team really should be. If I would have told you before the season started that Peterson was going to be one of the top 7 or 8 pitchers in the National League, I wouldn't have believed that either. So you have a couple guys on the plus side as well. You know, you were sitting there saying, well, you know, you're hoping Senga comes back and Manaea gets healthy, and that would be your 1-2, and Peterson maybe be a good 3. All of a sudden, he's one of the 8-10 best pitchers in the National League. So you had some things that were pluses. But for the most part, it's been minus on this team. And for them to be where they are, like Gino pointed out, makes a lot of sense. I mean, they are where we thought they were going to be. But at the same time, this team could be so much more.
Yeah.
And they should be so much more with the talent, in my opinion.
And you mentioned Peterson, just one of these strange stats. Clay Holmes went 6 innings on June 7th. We are 2 months later, 50 games. Peterson has gone at least 6 innings, 7 of his seven of nine of his starts since then. He's gone at least 6 innings. No other Mets starter has done that. So that means the other 41 games not started by Peterson, they have not gotten even 6 innings out of the starter.
It's been bad. Goes
your bullpen. Luckily, they brought in reinforcements, and so far they've pitched pretty well.
They've been better than the Yankees were than what they had.
I mean, Rodgers lost last night a couple of ground balls that found holes. It's going to happen with Rodgers. Helsley lost one in the extra innings because Brett Beatty decided to throw a bunt into right field. You know, but for the most part, the relievers they brought in have been pretty darn good. It's length in the bullpen. Now you've got Reed Garrett pitching the fifth and sixth innings. And Ryan Stanek is asking to get outs in the fourth inning or the ninth inning in the blowout.
That's where they are now.
Which is a lot better.
Listen, Stearns made his moves. I just think he gets a little arrogant thinking that his pitch clinic is going to make every pitcher a star. And it doesn't. And I think that he's got to start acting a little bit more like a big market GM. And I know a lot of Met fans, they sit there and live and die and love everything that David Stearns, like he craps like $1,000 bills. I mean, I've never heard a group fall in love so much with a GM that has never won anything in my life. But that's what happens with the Met fans and David Stearns. Yes, he got to the playoffs in Milwaukee. I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, so did what's his face in Oakland all those years. They never won. Billy Bean, they never won. I mean, you know, listen, if making the playoffs is the key to life, outstanding. The Mets haven't won a World Series in 39 years. It's no longer outstanding anymore. It's time to win. And, you know, if they win a World Series this year, outstanding. But I can't imagine that they will have the rotation to match up with anybody else right now unless all of a sudden Manaea and Senga turn a switch and there's something completely special about them going forward. I can't see it. That's what drives me nuts.
It's those two, and they're going to have to – I know they're going to try to play game Saturday, it looks like. They may go an opener before Montas. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, who knows what they're going to do, but if he pitches another game after Saturday – I mean, he shouldn't even pitch Saturday. But, you know, if you're not bringing up Sproder or McClain after Saturday to take Montas' spot in the rotation, then there's something wrong.
This is a big market team. You can start the clock. You can start the clock on Sproder and McClain.
Go ahead.
A big market team with a large payroll.
Yeah.
This isn't Milwaukee, Stearns. You can
not worry about it.
Yeah, it frustrates me because McClain has done everything he can do in AAA. He's done everything he can do. Get him here. Listen, I'm not a Met fan. I root for the Mets. I want him to do well, but I don't follow him like you do, Kev. And I know McClain has done everything he can do in the minors. Okay? I know Jonathan should be in AAA already.
Yeah. I mean, he's toying with his AA players. He's not doing anything down there.
Sproat's been unhittable the last five starts. I mean, come on. You know, any or all of these guys should be moved up a level. You can bring
them. They can't be any worse. They can't be any worse than Montas.
It's bringing up the white flag. I don't know.
Right now, I know he threw five decent innings the other night, but I think Clay Holmes has hit enough of a wall that you put him in the bullpen now, and you replace him in the rotation as well. Put Holmes in DFA Stanek, and all of a sudden now you've got even that much of a deeper bullpen.
So, Kev, I'm just going to say welcome to the world of watching Clay Holmes. He can get two strikes on anybody.
That's it.
And then all of a sudden, he'll have a couple of great – he'll start the year off better first half than second half, much like other players we've touched on in the past. And then all of a sudden in the second half of the season, you start watching him with two strikes, and he can't get the third one or he can't get the out. He's nibbling too much, ends up walking people or a lot of 3-2 counts. He can't go – as a closer, it was devastating. As a starter, it's just like he can't go more than 4 2/3. And it's like because he just throws 100 pitches in five innings, and you're like, Jesus. Yeah. And they don't want him to throw more than 80. So it's like it doesn't work if the guy doesn't know how to get the out with two strikes.
I don't know exactly, but he's already thrown 122 innings. Is that his career high?
At the
major league level?
It's gotta be.
His career high was 70.
No, he's way high, almost double.
Yeah.
50 innings over already, and we're in August.
He's thrown as many innings as he has the last 2 years combined.
Yeah, it's just – and even then he would tire out in the second half. Now you're asking him to nibble. He just doesn't have that – once people figure him out, they just lay off things and their balls. And that's just – it's just the life of rooting for Clay Holmes.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, welcome to the party. You know.
All right, let's go across town.
Oh, the Yankees, G. You know, 7 games over .500. They lost 5 in a row before today. The moronic brain trust has no freaking answers. Devin Williams is a mess like he was in April. all three. Did Pete Alonso
ruin Devin Williams?
You know what? Yeah, he might have. I mean, but Devin Williams has shown that out of the four closers that are on this Yankee roster, he is the weakest of the four right now. And that is hard to say. I mean, you watched the game on Friday, and, you know, you can't help but criticize the hell out of Boone, because he had decided, even though no one had pitched 2 days in a row, that he cannot go to Weaver and he cannot go to Williams, okay? Now, going to Williams would have been gasoline on the fire anyway. But you watch Bird get rocked, and I didn't understand the move for him so much, because he was giving up more than a hit per inning, and he was walking 4/9. I know he misses bats and strikes some people out, but because of the submarine, but I didn't understand it. But all right, whatever. I didn't have a problem with it. They go to him for first. It starts off with Rodon can't get out of the fifth, and then they go to Bird, and he just pours gasoline on the fire. Then they go to, you know, Bednar, and he's horrible, and you know, then they go to Doval, and he blows the game. You know, everything went wrong, right? They score 12 runs and they lose to a team that sold at the deadline. So it always gets you excited when you lose to a team that sold at the deadline, but they didn't just lose; they got swept. I know Miami's played well, and I do believe that the Yankees playing there helped them, because the stadium was packed. I mean, they were getting sellouts. They don't get that in Miami. And it's because they're not used to seeing the Yankees. I get it. They do see the Mets, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same as the Yankees, because it's some team you don't see every year. So it's got a little bit of a different kind of feel to it. And they sold out the three games, and the Marlins players were ecstatic playing in front of these crowds, and they played great. And they wiped the floor with the Yankees in game three. They weren't good games. And this team sold, much like with the Mets did with Cleveland and San Francisco. They lose 5 out of 6 to two teams that sold. Then the Yankees come back to Texas, who bought, by the way. And, you know, you watch Monday's game, and everything goes perfectly. You get the start for 5. Then you have the reliever. Was it Weaver in the 6th? Perfect. Doval in the 7th? Perfect. Bednar in the 8th? Perfect. Nobody's touched. Nobody even gets a hit. Then you bring in Devin Williams. They talk about how Jock Peterson's not hitting my weight when I was, like, 16. 136, and he pops the home run, right? And you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, right? And then they lose in extras, of course, because it's the Yankees, right? And then the Yankees of 2025, right? And then you watch last night, and everything's fine, 0-0. Warren gives you all he can. You know, the bullpen comes in, everybody's throwing zeros. They bring in Devin Williams in the 8th, boom, 2-0, and all of a sudden they lose that game. Today they held on with Bednar on a five out a close because – they had no one else they wanted to go to. They went with De Los Santos and Bednar down the stretch, and it worked better than the rest of the crew that they've used. I don't know. I still get frustrated. I'm still watching. You know, Goldschmidt won the game today, but he didn't start the game, because why would you start your best first baseman? I mean, the amount of errors that would have been saved on Volpe, don't get me wrong, he's been awful defensively, but at least 4 balls out of the dirt, Goldschmidt probably would have had that Rice didn't. We'd sit there and say, hey, he still sucks with 12 errors, but it wouldn't be 16. You know, it's just frustrating to watch this team. Rodon doesn't seem to have it. He struggled again today. I mean, he battled for 5 innings, but he's not your number 2 anymore. All of a sudden, you have no faith in Rodon, just like you have no faith in anybody else. At least Friedon on Tuesday battled and you know, gave up 4 in the 2nd, but gave you everything he had to get you through. They need a little bit better out of the rotation. Obviously, they got 1 hit last night. So with Judge back in the lineup, you know, the team is just frustrating. And then you look at these 2 morons that are running it, and you just want to punch them both in the face. It's just freaking horrible to watch. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is on offense. Again, I said all along, don't bring up Spencer Jones. You got nowhere to play him. Then Judge goes on the DL. They give you the opportunity, and they don't bring him up anyway, even though the guy's tearing it up. It's like, okay, that's the one thing. The one guy that could go down was Judge. The only guy that you could sit there and say, okay, I'm going to bring up another 6-7 guy that has hits for power. And
Darren, you were handed Austin Slater. Wasn't that enough?
He pulled his hamstring, what, the 2nd game we played him? I mean, you know, it's like, I just don't understand anything about what this team is trying to do. Listen, they're hanging on. Right now, if they would have lost today, they would be out of the playoffs, like on paper right now. But they happened to win, and they extended their lead over Texas to 1.5 games. But it's, you know, You have no faith with this team, Gino. You have no faith watching this team that they're going to do anything outside of the Freed starts at all right now.
Listen, I agree with you. And when Devin Williams blew that game, even with all these relievers, the only thing I could think of is Darren's going to be so pissed if Weaver is the closer again.
You know what? Right now it's Bednar. And it's got to be.
It is. It has to be. It has to be.
And you know what? Devin Williams has to be the sixth inning guy right now. He's got to be.
You have enough relief pitchers at the moment that you have to take him out of that role for now anyway, at least, because he can't keep doing this. And listen, I agree. We've said this a number of times through this season. I can't agree more with you on the lineup. Can you give me a damn lineup that makes sense just once? I mean, today Ben Rice was hitting second catching. Can you give me a lineup that makes sense just once?
And nothing against Ben Rice, but the amount of foul tip strike twos that he couldn't hold on to that you feel like a good catcher does extended that game.
Well, listen, I think this is, you know,
it's not easy to catch them, but I think Wells catches more than Rice does. I'm sorry.
I think this is the rare afternoon game that Rice actually gets a chance to catch.
I know.
But listen, I agree with you, because you get Goldschmidt not playing 3 days a week, 4 days a week now also, because Ben Rice is playing first.
Suddenly Ben Rice is Lou Gehrig. And again, he's had a fine season, as has Grisham.
Ben Rice is hitting .229. It's not even a fine season.
He's hit homers. I'll put it that way.
I know, that's it.
It's like watching Austin Wells and his homers and hitting .210. I want my backup catcher to be Torrens. I want a guy that catches the ball. That's all I want in my backup catcher. I don't want it. I want him to play once a week, and I want him to freaking catch the ball when he's in there. That's all I want. I don't need my backup catcher to be an offensive guy that can't catch very well. I don't know. I just get frustrated with this team. Volpe seems to have gotten his swing going, yep. Which is nice, but you know, hopefully he keeps the glove going now. But while you're struggling on the infield, you know, let's keep Goldschmidt in the game. Let him scoop him out at first. He's a natural first baseman. I think McMahon's been what we thought he was going to be. He's an all right. Yeah. He's come up clutch in a couple spots. I'm fine with it. The bullpen guys, I can't complain about them, except, you know, obviously I didn't expect anything out of Bird, and he showed me what I expected, but I didn't poo-poo the deal. It wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe they did this. He's already been sent down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. He already got sent down because they had to have a space open for Judge when he came back up. You know, and I'm waiting for Cruz to come back, because I need a pitcher that misses bats a little bit. You know, that's what it comes down to. But this team right now, struggling like crazy, trying to hold on to a playoff spot. You got to feel like on paper, both the Mets and the Yankees should make the playoffs. You really do. But at the same point in time, if either or neither of them made it, would it stun me? No.
Not at this point anyway.
Rotation, yeah. Now, the Mets' deficiencies on the rotation, the Yankees' deficiencies all around, and their lack of fundamental baseball and the poor brain trust, I have no faith in either team right now.
In your mind, Darren, what has to happen for Boone to be out of here?
Miss the playoffs.
Playoffs.
I think if he misses the playoffs, you got to make a move. I don't think they will, but I think you should. I think Cashman should be out of here if they don't make the playoffs. I mean, it's time for Hal to stop worrying about counting his pennies from Yes and everything that's Yankees all around the world and start just putting, you know, sometimes you just need new blood, new eyes on old problems, a different system guy. Listen, we've had great managers that get fired after long
tenures. Absolutely.
We've had great GMs that get moved on from after long tenures, because sometimes you just need to have new eyes on an old problem, just the way it works.
Yeah, yep. I know it's been 39 years for the Mets, but how long has it been for the Yankees?
The Yankees been
2009. 16.
Yeah, 16, which is a lifetime for a Yankees.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, everybody talked about the Horace Clark, like, late 60s, early 70s Yankees. We didn't really see them. We've heard the stories. And that was like this huge drought. This is longer. Well, it's the same, actually. But it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous right now.
What else is going on in the American League? What's the playoff picture look like?
Well, Boston right now looks like the hottest team in baseball. The nine out of their last 10, and they've climbed up. The three division leaders remain Toronto, Detroit, and Houston. None of the three have played well in their last 10. They've shown warts. Houston went back out there, got Correa, you know, stuff like that. Toronto did some fortification. Detroit did some weird fortification with their bullpen. I thought they got like three of the same guy coming in. But, you know, you figure that Detroit would run away with it. All of a sudden, Cleveland, off the sweep of the Mets, suddenly is, you know, within 5.5. I'm not saying that makes them a lock by any stretch of putting any pressure on Detroit, but Detroit hasn't felt pressure all year.
Yeah.
As for Houston, Seattle and Texas are both kind of all in. Yeah. And that West, I mean, Houston's lead is what, 2.5 on Seattle, and I think Texas
yes.
will get back, right? So yep. I think that, you know, that's going to be a race all the way down to the end, because Houston doesn't have that, I don't know, they don't have the same team that they had in the past. And no. Seattle has fortified, and they have the best pitching of the group. And Texas is a damn close second with their acquisitions and how great the Grom has been. So you look at that, Seattle and Texas, I think, can easily make a run at Houston. And that's going to be a hell of a race. As for Toronto, until they show that they can hold on, you know, I'm not going to give them I mean, they're 3.5 up and 6.5 up on the Yankees, but I don't think either the Red Sox or the Yankees are dead yet in that division race either. I think the Red Sox will have to cool off at some point. If they don't, they're going to run away with the World Series, which will just devastate me and make me hate baseball for another year. But, you know, but it could happen. And I think that the Blue Jays, you just want to see if they can hold on to what they've done here in the first half of the year. Well, not first half, but early part of the second half of the year here, where they pull the lead. But those are the teams right now. So we're looking at about 8 teams fighting for 6 spots. Cleveland, the most likely really outside looking in. And it looks like that last spot, if you look at it right now, is going to come down to Boston. The last 2 spots are going to come down to Boston, the Yankees, Seattle, and Texas. And we're going to see 3 out of those 4 will get in.
How many games out of the wild card do you think is the cut line for the moment?
What I did with the cut line was, because the Rays are the next team, they're below 500, so I'm not taking anybody seriously that's a below 500 team right now. I know that that could change, G, but if you're below 500 now, you're looking at being a 79 or an 80 win team. I can't take you seriously.
Okay.
As making the wild card with 80 wins. I think it's going to be 84, 85. So I'm Cleveland's my cut line.
Okay, because I mean, I don't disagree. You know, you got Boston, Seattle, and the Yankees at the moment, and then you got Cleveland and Texas a game and a half back of the wild card spot.
Yep.
And then after that, Tampa Bay and Kansas City are 4.5 behind at that. You know, they're 4.5 out of the wild card spot. So there is a gap there.
It's only 3 games, but I just don't think that they're better than 500 teams, and I don't think that they'll be able to make the run. If they can prove me wrong with a 9-1 stretch over a 10-game span, and all of a sudden I got to take them seriously. But until they get over 500, I'm not gonna.
And for the record, I think you're on this. I'm on the same path as you. You got your 3 division leaders right now, and 5 wild card. You know, 5 wild card teams playing it out here, and between those 8 teams is where you're going to get your wild card. That's going to be your playoff teams at this point. I don't think Tampa Bay or Kansas City is going to get in this at some point. So
and I think that's where it is. The deadline also. I mean, you know, but that doesn't mean anything. So to Cleveland, right? So,
yep. Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. But Kev, what about the National League? What are you seeing?
Well, actually, you know, right now the 6 teams look like they're pretty set. You know, there's still a chance for some of the wild card teams to sneak up, but you know,
I don't think Cincinnati's out of it yet. I think Cincinnati has to be considered.
There's still the one team that's in there outside the top 6, but you're looking at each one has division races. Philly, with the strength of a huge 5-5 in their last 10, has actually gotten into first place by 2.5 because the Mets have played so badly. Out in the Central, Milwaukee won 5 in a row, 8 of 10. They've gotten ahead by the Cubs by 3.5 games now. And boy, take a look, and Gary Cohn mentioned it on the broadcast today, because the Mets are playing Milwaukee this weekend. You take a look, Peralta, Priester, Quintana, Patrick, and he's on the IL right now, but Mizorowski when he comes back. in the bullpen, Anderson, Uribe, Koenig, Mears, McGill, Ashby, and you've got Shelby Miller on rehab assignment. None of those guys have an ERA over 3.6.
Yeah.
That is a deep, deep pitching staff.
And that's not including Logan Henderson, who has pitched great when he's been up here. And he's still got options, so they keep – They'll pitch him for two starts and then send them back down. So
yeah,
they're deep. Is going to be is are they going to be able to get the big outs in the eighth and ninth inning in big?
That's
games?
It.
I mean, they can do it in the regular season. Now we have to see if they're going to be able how they're going to react in the playoffs.
Yep, they're relying on right now
with Devin Williams though. But yes,
they're relying on Trevor McGill right now.
Yep, okay. Yep, and he throws hard. He does all the right things, but we never know what a guy can do. Until he's facing the big spot, see Armando Benitez.
Yep. And then out west, your Padres have gotten hot. They've won 8 of 10. They've cut the Dodgers' lead down to 2.5.
If they win tonight, too, come on, baby.
And, boy, you know, another example, especially with the moves they made at the deadline, Suarez, Miller, Estrada, Adam, Morjan, and Peralta in the bullpen.
Yeah.
If they get any sort of starts from Blake Snell, who's back –
Snell's a Dodger.
I'm sorry, Snell's. That's right.
You also forget about Morgan, who's got a really good arm as well. The Padre bullpen was good before they got Mason Miller, and he actually blew a save the other night, in the eighth. It's a really solid pen. But they need Cease to be a little bit stronger. Yep. And they're going to need a few guys to really kind of step up. Darvish has to be better.
The King's the one that they need back and pitching well in September.
Yeah, Michael King's supposed to be coming back.
Yep. If we use the same logic we just used for the American League on the National League and not counting anybody that's around 500, the Reds are 5 games over 500 at the moment. So using that logic, you got the three division winners. You got the three division leaders at the moment. You got the Cubs, the Padres, the Mets, and the Reds. So the American League's got 8 teams battling for the spots. In the National League, you got 7 teams battling for the spots is where it kind of works itself out to be. San Francisco, St. Louis, they're at least 5 games back of the wild card. So, you know, for the moment, we'll put them aside. Listen, anybody can get hot. Don't get me wrong. One of these teams goes, you know, 16-4 in a 20-game stretch, and they put themselves right back in this. But for the moment, it looks like you got the 8 teams in the AL, the 7 teams in the NL. Those are the ones where all the playoff teams are going to come from at this point. So,
And I don't think any of us saw this Brewer thing coming.
No.
I think we saw the Cubs. I think we saw the Reds. The Brewers being the best team in baseball was not something anybody expected. And for the Dodgers being where they are, it's disappointing. We expected them to be a 110-win team.
Oh, yeah.
And it just has not worked out for them that way either.
Their over-under was over 100, wasn't it, Gina?
I don't know. I'd have to take a look.
It was pretty damn close to 100. It was pretty damn close if it wasn't, you know? But, yeah, no, did not see that coming.
I thought the pitching would be good, not this good, okay? Right. And then, honestly, I didn't think the offense was going to be that good. I mean, we saw a lot out of Churio last year. You knew Yelich was going to have a good year at some point. But I didn't see some of this stuff, which, you know, they were going to get great. They acquired Andrew Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn's been on fire since he joined this team. He's hitting 370 in 21 games.
By the way, Contreras has been awful, too, by the way. They didn't even get anything out of Contreras this year.
Yeah.
He's hitting 250 with 9 homers. He was like the best hitting catcher in baseball for a couple of years, and now he's nothing. Collins has been good. I mean, they've gotten a lot out of a lot of guys.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you tell me, but Bryce Terang, Caleb Durbin, I mean, they're getting it from all over the place right now.
It's kind of a fun team to watch. You know, we were saying that the Reds were going to be this really fun team to watch, and they are, but the Brewers have been outstanding to watch. So are the Cubs. All three teams are fun to watch.
Yeah, they are.
You know, not at the expense of the Mets or the Padres, but I hope all three get into the playoffs. Which means I hope the Dodgers fall apart, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Or the Phillies.
Exactly.
All right. Any other baseball points you guys want to?
I got a few. Do you have any, Kev?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Somewhere I'm just speaking about hot teams. You know, Toronto against Colorado this last series. 15-1, 10-4, and 20-1. Even though the last eight of the runs came against catcher Austin Nola. But 45 runs and 63 hits in the three-game series. I don't care where you're playing. That's incredible.
Those guys the are Orioles, finally hitting like we thought they would.
Yep. The Orioles on Sunday against the Cubbies. In their lineup, they had Jackson Holliday at second base, Jeremiah Jackson in right field, and Alex Jackson at catcher. So three guys with catcher in their name.
With Jackson
in the first.
With Jackson in their name, not catcher in their name.
Sorry. Yeah, with Jackson in their name.
Jackson. Did I say catcher?
Yeah, you got it. Oh, yeah, yep. Okay. Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Sorry, my bad.
So in the first inning, Ian Happ hits a double to right field. Gets a run in. Carson Kelly gets thrown out of the plate. From Jeremiah Jackson to Jackson Holliday to Alex Jackson. If you can believe it, they went Jackson to Jackson to Jackson for the put-out.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And they had the baseball game this weekend down in Bristol.
Yep.
They built the baseball stadium inside the infield of the track.
Yep.
And it got rained out, or it got suspended because the rains came in the very first inning. But I thought it was really rather appropriate that Hurston Waldrop, not Waltrip, but Waldrop, got close the enough. Win at a NASCAR track.
I got to say one thing about that. I wish they just did it at the Field of Dreams field every year and raised for a major charity, and just every ticket sold went and went to, you know, Make a Wish or whatever it is, and really did a Field of Dreams thing every year. I'm not trying to shoot down the thing at the racetrack or anything else, but I mean, baseball could actually give back and maybe get a little bit of a little public support for doing the right thing for once and not just being about salary. Just one man's opinion.
I agree. We've seen it two or three times now with the Field of Dreams game, and nothing beats, you know, coming out of the cornfield and everything else.
It's great. But have all the fans, everybody that buys a ticket, put all the proceeds to Make a Wish or something that's got something to do with dreams. I don't care what charity. You want to change the charity every year, I don't care what you do. But they have a real chance to do something nice. I would love to see them do that.
I agree. Yep.
Good stuff. You have anything else?
Nope, that's it for me for my stupid baseball points. How about you?
Here's my stupid baseball point. First one is not stupid. This is I thought it was a fitting tribute on Saturday. The Cubs had Sean Dunston, Jody Davis, and Rick Sutcliffe walk second base out in honor of Ryne Sandberg, and I thought that was a really great,
very nice
moment. You know, and you see how emotional they all were. I don't think it's possible to find a guy that didn't have a nice thing to say about Ryne Sandberg. It's just like, you know, just one of those guys that was just beloved. Here's an interesting one. I don't know if you guys know this one, but you might. In 1972, on July 31st, Dick Allen hit two inside the park home runs in a game in a victory over the Dutchman, Bert Blyleven. Okay? Two inside the park homers in one game. It's only happened one other time. Happened in 1986. Greg Gagne of the Twins. And who was the winning pitcher? The Dutchman, Bert Blyleven. I was like, wow. That one blew my mind. Imagine, because two inside the park homers in the same game, pretty rare, twice only, and it was and Blyleven was involved in both, both in Minnesota, by the way, as well. I've been on this Bob Gibson kick, so I'm going to do one more because it's just ridiculous. Some of these stats in June, July of '68, Gino.
June, July, okay.
1968. He had 12 starts, 12 complete games. He went 12-0. He was 108 innings pitched, 63 hits. 16 walks, 91 Ks. He allowed one home run with an ERA of 0.50. I don't even know what to say.
I bet that's one hell of a strat card.
Oh, my God. Just 12 starts, 12. It was just I saw that. I was like, oh, my God. And because you missed my Tony Gwynn the last couple of weeks, just one stupid one with Tony. In his final season at the age of 41, Gwynn was limited to 112 at-bats. Because his left leg was wrecked, his right hamstring was torn, he had a bad right knee and a torn meniscus. He had 324. Sunday Night Baseball, I'm going to ask you guys a trivia question. Oh, since 2016, so the last 10 years, the Yankees have played the most Sunday Night games. They played 50, Red Sox 44, and the Mets with 43. Two teams have not played one. Can you name the two teams that have not played a Sunday night game in the last 10 years?
Rockies?
Nope, they've played them. And they haven't even played – they played more than one. How about that?
Wow. The Rays?
The Rays have played one.
Wow.
Any guesses, Jay?
The Kansas City Royals.
Nope, they've played several. They won a World Series in 16. So they were hot back then.
That's true. The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Nope, they've played a few.
Marlins?
Marlins have played a few.
Wow. Starting running out of teams.
Okay. The Angels.
Not Angels have played a few. It's the Reds and the Reds and the Blue Jays have not played a Sunday night game.
The Reds and the Blue Jays.
And okay. Tampa and the A's have only played one. I just thought that was interesting. So you see the Yankees 50 times and they can't show you the Reds once, but that's all right. So you guys all know the famous Eddie Fainer, right? The king in his court.
Yes, it's football.
Okay. Yep. 1967 exhibition game at Dodger Stadium. He faced six big leaguers, five of which went to Cooperstown, okay? Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente, Brooks Robinson, Willie McCovey, Maury Wills, and Harmon Killebrew. He struck out all six in order. And then the final one's a semi-pro team called the Portland Pickles. They let a fan come out and take in that bat. They don't give you the fan's name. They just call him Dixie, whatever that means. And he took the count 3-2, and then he hit a homer. But then afterwards, everyone's like, oh, this fan came out here. And it turns out he was a college baseball player. But it was just an interesting. So that's kind of what I have for baseball. But, interesting stuff. But the Sunday night thing I thought was weird. And the Bob Gibson stuff, just for that year, particularly 68, just blows me away because he was so untouchable. Yeah. Back to you, G.
All right. Sports potpourri. So where are you going next? Kev?
Anything you want to say?
Well, golf.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go there. So, believe it or not, golf has a regular season and a playoff season. So the golf regular season is over. They've accumulated points all year in the FedEx Cup standings.
Okay.
There's $100 million of bonuses from FedEx, and there's also $40 million of bonuses from Comcast business partners.
Okay.
They give you part of the payout after the regular season is over. They pay out the top 10. So Scottie Scheffler got $10 million from FedEx, $8 million from Comcast, $18 million for finishing first so far in the FedEx Cup standings.
It's not easy. McElroy,
McElroy had 10. Sepp Straka was third. He had 6. Henley.
Except when I bet him.
What was that?
When I bet him. Doesn't do crap.
Henley, fourth. Justin Thomas, I was surprised at fifth. I felt like he hasn't really.
He was really good early, and he's not been good at all lately.
Ben Griffin was sixth.
Right now, he's on the Ryder Cup team.
Harris English, JJ Spawn, Tommy Fleetwood, and Keegan Bradley. So that's $43 million from FedEx already paid out in bonuses. So they're still playing for another $57 million.
Okay.
So this week, in the FedEx stance, in the FedEx standings, the top 70 play the St. Jude. The $20 million purse, no cut, all 70, well, 69 are playing because Rory decides, I don't need to play. Points carry over. You had the points from this week. The top 50 play in the BMW. Again, another $20 million purse. After that, they cut to the top 30 in points. The points leader at that point gets another $5 million bonus. There's a $23 million bonus pool available in total for the top 30. The Tour Championship this year becomes standalone. Years past at Tour Championship, they've started off, the leader of the FedEx Cup would start at minus 10.
Right.
Work their way down to par. Well, they've got done away with that.
Correct.
It's a standalone tournament. You win the Tour Championship, you win a $10 million bonus out of the $40 million. It goes all the way down to $355,000 for 30th place. So $100 million.
A lot of money in golf, buddy.
There's a boatload of money in golf. So for this week, you're looking at Scheffler playing this week. He's at plus 300. Shoffley's at plus 1,400. Fleetwood at plus 2,200. And then Thomas, Oberg, Fitzpatrick, and Henley are at plus 2,500. and it goes all the way down. Cam Davis, Davis Riley, and Joe Highsmith, who were the last three to get in, are plus 35,000. Now you don't make the cut.
The buck. Spend the buck. It was a good
horse. Throw a buck on it. You can win the bet 50.
$1, get it done.
And overall for the FedEx Cup, of course, Scotty is the favorite to win it at plus 250. McElroy is second at plus 600. And then Schauffele and Oberg, those are the top four to win the FedEx Cup.
Listen, so I actually don't mind the FedEx Cup stuff, Kev. I think it kind of makes it exciting a little bit. But at the same point in time, I'm so focused on Ryder right now. I don't even know if I'm every other year I'm focused on Ryder. I don't care so much about the presidents and all that other stuff. But the Ryder Cup is always big.
I think, you know, we're still, even after that's done, the playoff, you're still a month away from the Ryder.
I know.
I think there's still plenty of time to look at the Ryder.
No, I get it. I'm just saying that I'm looking to see who's going to qualify as the Americans. I want to see who's going to be playing in the Ryder off this tournament more than watching rich guys get that much richer. But I understand your point.
Yep. So that's what's coming up in golf in the next 3 weeks.
All right. Darren, where you want to go?
College football point. I'm going to ask you guys a trivia question. This former NFL coach, okay, while playing at NC State, had two games in which he recorded 24 tackles, okay? 1977 against South Carolina, sorry, Kev, 1978 versus Clemson. He also holds the single-season mark at NC State with 195 tackles in 1978. Do you know who this linebacker is, former NFL coach?
Singletary?
Nope. He played at Baylor. Gee, can't throw out a former coach guess or not really?
No.
Bill Cowher. Not only really? Can he coach, but he can freaking tackle. I had no idea he had those kind of stats. That's the only reason I brought it up. I was just looking up and I saw Bill Cowher.
Wow.
He played. And it was like he's like eighth all-time in tackle, so it's not like that's that. But he holds a season, single season with 195 because he only really played 2 years. Where he was a starter, but he had two games of 24 tackles. He had that gruff, mean look like a linebacker and stuff. Yeah. And a great defensive coach, but that blew me away. So that's my college football stat. Kev, Gino, what do you got next?
I've got nothing else.
Couple NFL points, really, for me, okay? Jets camp, I mean, again, we're going to see the first preseason game. It'll give us a little bit of a better idea. Everything I'm reading about Fields says he's been a little bit uneven. Looks like the offensive line's playing well in the run game and improving a little bit in the pass game. This looks like Will McDonald has kind of come to play. We're going to see. But the other thing I'm reading a lot about is way too many penalties. They have officials at every practice, and they're still committing too many penalties. So what we thought was a problem last year has not fixed itself, despite every player trying to throw Robert Saleh under the bus on this one. But we'll find out a little bit more. Teddy Bridgewater talks about his suspension from coaching high school due to impermissible benefits. Basically, he's in a bad area in Miami. He wanted to get the kids home safe. Yep. So he got them rides home, and that's why he's suspended. It's a joke.
It's a joke. Wow.
It's really a joke.
He just signed with who, Denver, was it?
I believe so, yes. I believe you're right. I'm not 100% sure, though. I don't want to guarantee it, but I think you're right. ESPN has finalized a deal to acquire the iconic NFL Red Zone and other top media properties. Details about the deal, ESPN is launching a new $29.99 per month app, which with all its channels, games, and now the Red Zone channel. So, you know, you'll have to spend more. The NFL is expected to get – what was that?
And WWE.
And WWE. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
That will be on there as well.
I thought that wrestling was on TNT. It didn't happen that way?
No.
They're all over the place.
Yeah. They're on Netflix. They're everywhere.
Okay. The NFL is going to get 10% equity in ESPN now. And they also own the Red Zone name, which they might move to do college football as well and have their own Red Zone channel for other sports, which could be interesting. And we'll see. But we'll see where the costs go with that.
So the NFL is getting 10% stake in ESPN.
Correct. Yep.
And there we have the NFL Network.
Well, ESPN is buying the NFL Network. Along with it comes with the Red Zone, but they're buying the NFL Network.
Okay.
NFL Network and fantasy football will now be under the ESPN umbrella.
Yeah.
Okay. And ESPN gets 7 more regular season games per year. The deal is reportedly worth $2 billion.
Yeah.
a little crazy, right?
I don't know. The way ESPN's been going lately,
The announcers we're going to get are going to not be exactly what I'm looking for. I'm going to get the WNBA announcers coming out there doing the by the way, a third green dildo thrown last night, by the way. Just throw that out there. Giants camp, by the way, the defense looks strong. Cam Scatabo, every time I see a highlight, looks outstanding, by the way. He really does. Need to see Jameis Winston. Again, only guy in the NFL history with a 30-30 club, all right? 30 touchdowns, yep. 30 picks in the same season. Led the NFL in passing with 5,109 yards and also in pick sixes with 7. It's just too much fun not to play this guy. It's a punishment to the fan not to get to watch Jameis Winston, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
But when do you think he's going to get a chance to play?
Russell Wilson will have to be awful or banged up. He will be the second guy. Jackson Dart probably will not see playing time probably till like week 10 or 11 if the Giants are out of it.
So weeks 1 to 9, in your example, weeks 1 to 9, Russell Wilson goes down. That's when you'll see Jameis Winston.
Which I think is just a win for everybody.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
it makes the Giants must watch for a change.
Well, they've been a boring team, and now with Scatabo, with Neighbors, well, and if you have Jameis throwing in the ball, I mean, this could be one of the most fun teams to watch in the NFL if we do it right. I understand how great Jaden Daniels is. I'm not trying to take it away.
No.
I'm talking about the excitement of not knowing what the next play is going to bring. With Jaden Daniels, you know it's going to be a good play. With Jameis Winston, it's 50-50. And you know what? There's something exciting about 50-50 for a mediocre football team.
It's 100% a good play. The question becomes, is it 50% for your team or 50% for the other team?
You do know that Scatabu suffered a hamstring injury and he's going for MRIs and stuff, right?
He is, but
he may not even be there right now. So
I understand, but you know what? I don't know about the injury. Was it yesterday, I think? But yeah, you know, every highlight I saw from the guy has looked really fun. He's so much quicker on the NFL, you know, against NFL players than I expected him to be.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons demands the trade. Out of Dallas, he wants out, so we'll see what happens there. Trey Hendrickson shows up in Cincinnati, so that gives Cincinnati a little bit of an edge up again. And Marv Levy turned 100 years old, and I think that that's something that should be celebrated. World War II veteran. I never rooted for the Bills with Marv Levy because they always beat my Jets, but you know what? I think that is a an achievement, and he had a great record, lost all 4 Super Bowls, but you know, got his team to 4 straight. Nobody else has ever done that.
Yep. August 6th,
yep.
Today.
Yep.
Give me Jet and Giant win totals. You only get 3 sentences to defend your number.
You want to go first, Kev, or you want me to go first?
Jets.
6-11.
7-10. Any
comments involved in that? I give you 3 sentences.
Fields is going to be just good enough to not blow up the team and blow up the season. But not so good that they're going to be any challenge for the playoffs. Then they're going to be running that mediocre 6 wins, 7 wins, maybe even they'll wind up with the 15th pick.
I got them at 6-11, Kev. Right now, so we're all on kind of on the same page here.
7-10, and my 3 sentences will be: I think the Jets are going to get off decent. I think they'll be battling around .500. I think the lack of depth is going to hurt this team as we get injuries in the second half of the year.
Okay.
It's fatigue or whatever it is. And so I don't think so. I don't think they'll be better than 7-10.
New York Giants?
I'll go first on this one. I have the Giants at 8-9.
Kev?
4-13.
I think you're smoking something at 8 wins, Darren.
I like this team. I think this defense is better than you think. And I think that I do. I like the pass rush. I really do.
Okay.
I think they make a difference. And I think the secondary is improved. I just think that the defense will keep them in the games. And I think that a lot of the NFC East takes a little bit of a half step backwards. I think Washington will probably not, but I think Philly will, and I think Dallas will. And I think
I think Washington may take a little step back. I still think the Giants are probably 4, at best 5 wins. I don't know where the hell you're getting 8 wins out of that team.
I'm getting 8 wins out of that team with Russell Wilson finding a way to squeak out some very ugly victories like he did last
year. So they're not playing Jackson Dart then?
I don't think so. I don't think I see Jackson Dart all season.
And for that, right off the bat, Dable should be fired right now. Okay.
I understand. I think the Giants find a way to get eight. I'm not a Giants fan by any means.
We'll get more into that stuff as we get close to the season. I won't go on a diatribe now.
I wouldn't trust Dable to get eight wins.
I don't believe in Dable either. You know, I think he's Mangini in a blue outfit, but I just think that I like the Giant defense. Let's see what happens.
All right. Anything else, guys?
NCAA tournament staying at 68 for right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. And the Islanders signed first pick Matthew Schaefer to his 3-year entry level deal. Not that that was a big deal. You knew it was going to happen, but it's done.
Still nice to put pen to paper and get it done.
Exactly.
So the future looks bright.
Okay.
Anything else for you guys before we wrap up?
Nope. No, that's it.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren here with Kevin here with Gino. Talk about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where the New York teams are just killing all of us for baseball all summer long when there's no other sport to watch. It's just freaking devastating. Please download the podcast. Anyway, you can get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. Also, we are posting on social. We had a lot of responses to the Yankee one, not as many to the Met one. Please tell us. Tell us everything we're saying right. Tell us everything we're saying wrong. Tell us everything you like and everything you don't like. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.